Good, good. We want to thank you so much for cooperating with Brother Dundy when he asked you to move a little closer. This feels a little better. Well, to me, it feels better. Maybe not to you. But if you are visiting with us, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We know you had many choices to choose from, churches all over the place, and you chose to come to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We won't impose on you to speak or to say anything, but if you don't mind, would you stand for just a moment so we can give you an official Fifth Ward Church of Christ welcome? It's visitors to in the center. Any other visitors? If you are sitting around our visitors, shake their hands and then shake your neighbor's hands without moving very far and just say good morning. Show some love this morning. Wonderful. Good to see you. Hey, my sister, what you got?
Good morning. Good morning. Did you have a baptism this
No,
morning?
We did not. We did not. All righty. That feels better. We started a series last Sunday entitled God's Power 2 Series, and we're going to continue that today. If you open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse number 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20, I'm diving right in. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, but to us today also, to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. He is able. That he is God. God is able. And I don't think that we've tapped into this. I don't believe I've tapped into this, being able to recognize that really God is able. He's able to do more than what we can even ask.
Yes.
And that is a statement. It's in the Bible. I don't know if we believe it or not. But the Bible says he is. If God is able to turn darkness into light, don't you think he's able?
Amen.
Yeah, God is able. And I hope we'd admit that he is able to do just that. Then it says, according to the power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Notice this, that works in us. Now, I really honestly believe, I can only speak for myself. I know I haven't tapped into this power. The Bible says this power works in us. One of the reasons why I started this series, you notice last couple of months or so, I've been preaching on some true doctrine in the Bible, worship series, how God expects us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And then we are the Christians and we have the truth. But it seems like to me sometimes I don't have the power. Now, the word power means it's a word that helps us to be more effective, more efficient. It helps us to have more impact. Now, see, you can say you have power, but if you can't demonstrate it, do you really have the power?
No.
See, now, power is something that exhibits strength.
Yes.
And in our Christian lives, if we are Christians, if we are children of God, if we have the truth, then where is the power? And the Bible said it works in us. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to deliver some practical lessons whereby I believe that in God's word, he's given us these tools to demonstrate, to exhibit, and to live powerful lives. Notice this. Go back to the passage. That works within us. To him be glory. Not for us to brag on. Not for us to say that we did anything, because this power doesn't come from mankind. It doesn't come from us. To him be glory in the church. You mean you can have a certain amount of ability to do things on your own, but this power, it really exhibits itself better when it's demonstrated through the body. The church is the body. The word church means assembly, the body of Christ. We're called together in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, of fear, but of power.
Amen.
and love and of discipline or a sound mind. God has given us this power, and let's tap into this power. Last week we focused on the powerful tool of partnership in the body of Christ, of partnership, of partnering with each other for the cause of Christ, and how we can glean and learn and we can be more efficient and more effective and have more impact if we work together and if we get along together and if we partner with each other together in the body of Christ. And God has given us that wonderful tool, and sometimes we use it, sometimes we do not. This morning, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. We're going to a very familiar scripture that I have read so many times, and I thought I understood it, but I hope I understand it a lot better. Jesus talking, he says, if you have it, in everything. Everybody say everything. Every now and then I have you to repeat words, because some words in the Bible just jump out at me. You know, when you read a word like all, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen. See, when words like that, see, that means everybody ought to listen. That means it applies to everybody. When the Bible says all have sinned, stand up if you haven't sinned. That means you just don't understand. That means you just lie, so you need to sit down. But now, when the scriptures say in everything, and just in context, in everything, in every situation. And so, see, that means just more than why we're in here worshiping the Lord. It's more than when we meet together as the body of Christ. He says in every situation. So this scripture applies. You can take it home. You can take it to your job. You can take it on vacation. You can take it if you're in the army. You can take it whether you're at work. Every situation, it applies to all of us. So this is one of those times when Jesus is talking, everybody ought to listen to what he's saying. He says in everything, he gives us this statement. Therefore, treat people. This is a New American Standard Translation. King James Translation says, whatsoever you do. He says this, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. He says, for this is the law and the prophets. Wish I had time to read the whole text in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount, if you will, the Beatitudes. And he gives this groundbreaking new teaching that we know that it has been said, but I say, love your enemies. And he gets to the culmination of this, and he gets down to the crown of the end of it, and he says, in everything, I'm going to put all of this. It's, you know, under the old law, there were so many passages and so many orders. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt, if your neighbor's donkey get caught in a hole, what you should do. And he goes down the line, down the line, down the line. But he gets in the New Testament. He says, in everything. He said, I'm going to ball it up, and I'm going to put a lot of it on you. Amen. He says, in everything to the children of God, you treat everybody like you want to be treated. Amen. That's what he said. And so that means that he didn't write down all of these specifics because he wants you to use it everywhere you go. I want you to put yourself in the other person's place and you decide what you want, how you want to be treated, and you do that to them. My goodness, that's going to be the focus kind of the lesson. I'm going to get back to it in just a second now. Notice this saying, we call it the golden rule. It really wasn't penned the golden rule until about the 1800s. The gentlemen called it that, but it seemed to be fitting. But he gets it from this particular passage. It is new teaching. Some say others had taught it, but not in this context, not like Jesus taught it. If you back it up with the other passages that he used, there are also those who've labeled other rules of human conduct. They've called them the silver rule and the iron rule. Silver rule and iron rule. Not biblical terms, but some of it you can get part of it. You can see the teaching in the Word of God. For instance, the iron rule, if you will, just for a moment. The iron rule is the rule of power and force. I say power, but it is their definition of power. To exert force, to exert rule, to exert authority. And they say, the iron rule, they call it the iron rule because they are really trying to get power forward. It's the motto, you ever heard, might makes right? You know, one can do whatever he's big enough or bad enough to do. Person can do it and they just do it. It's even demonstrated in the Bible. Started with Cain. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? And Cain, God wasn't pleased with Cain's sacrifice, and Cain got upset instead of doing what was right. He just decided to take matters into his own hand, and he killed his brother because he could. And that's the iron rule. That's the I can do it, and he did it. And perhaps he didn't want anybody to say anything to him, but God had something to say about it. Look at 1 John in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John 3:12. Everybody's all right this morning? Not as Cain, the scripture tells us in the New Testament. Not as Cain, I don't have time to read it all, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. The iron rule. He just did what he wanted to do. And he's not the first and certainly is not the last. The military leaders throughout the history. Alexander the Great was considered one of the greatest military leaders of his time. He ruled with force. Julius Caesar, he has an inscription that was coined after his victories. Vena vidi, vici, I came, I saw, and I conquered. And many people admire those traits in leaders, that they are forceful rulers. They're forceful rulers, and Julius Caesar lived by that iron rule, if you will. You know of Adolf Hitler, that he schemed to develop this master race, and he killed literally millions, thousands of Jews and people who are handicapped and mentally disabled. He did away with them because he felt like, I want a master race, and I want to do what I want to do. And this is the way he exerted power. And that's the iron rule. They were in our history. Do we have iron rulers today? You don't have to be an army captain. Some husbands live by, demonstrate this adult, this conduct of our iron rule. Some wives do also. Yeah, some wives. Hopefully we don't have any in here that do that. But, you know, to a greater or lesser degree, most of us will adopt one of these rules of conduct, if you will. One or a combination of them. Husbands and wives and some employers, some employees, some church leaders. Amen, somebody. Some church members. Amen, somebody. Okay. Yeah, some bullies use this technique, this tactic. And I say they use it. They choose to exert intimidation, fear, and force to simply have their way. And one thing you need to remember, we all need to remember, there is a fatal flaw when we choose this human conduct, and we do choose it. We choose it. It's our choice to choose this. It produces and it harbors resentment upon those who we are forcing it on. It harbors anxiety. It harbors anger. It harbors hate. It harbors rebellion if we continue to live this kind of way. And I know you may have your reasons why you exert this force, but it's not the quality, it's not the trait that Jesus model for us as Christians. Amen. He didn't rule that type of way. And he does not admonish us to do it. Remember this, Julius Caesar was a great leader, but remember Julius Caesar's only his own senators killed him. They ambushed him and stabbed him to death. Why? Because they defied the way he ruled. Those that live under that, they might deal with it for a while. They might cheese and smile in your face, but you better be careful, because they'll scheme to get you back as soon as they can. Adolf Hitler committed suicide. Yes, he did. When he knew that his captors were upon him, he committed suicide. We don't want to end our lives that way. We don't want our children to grow up. Yes, they'll obey us and listen to us while we are there. But as soon as they get a chance, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. We know you got the power. We know you the man. But the Bible says, don't use that to try to just because you can, to make somebody bow to your power, if you will.
bring them up in the nurture, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's, those are the iron rulers. And though it's not a way that God wants us to exert our authority. Church leaders. We don't want church leaders around here barking, do this, do that, just because they are church leaders. Amen, somebody. Silver rule is kind of similar to the golden rule, if you will. It's kind of similar to it. It's not a Bible term, but the silver rule it's been described as the negative of the golden rule, because it states what you do not wish done to you, do not do to others. And some of you might be saying, "Well, Gary, that sounds like the same." It's not the same. See, in other words, the silver rule, it would forbid much that would be offensive to you because you don't want anybody to do anything offensive to you, but it doesn't require any positive action on your part. Let me see if I can explain that. See, nobody wants to. Let's say you wouldn't want your neighbor to steal. You would want to forbid your neighbor from stealing your purse, or you wouldn't want to steal your neighbor's purse because you surely wouldn't want your neighbor to steal your purse. Amen. So you wouldn't want that to happen. But suppose you found a purse and it had $500 in it. You found the purse, it had $500 in it. It's not your purse. You might have found it on your street, you might have found it at the mall. I got a question here. Anybody, if somebody found $500, would you want them to give it back? Yes. Oh, my God. But you don't know whose $500 it is. Well, if you lost it in the mall and it had the ID in the purse, would you still give it back? Yes. Well, see, the silver rule would say that it doesn't require any action. You just don't want anybody to do you bad. That was a case in 1964. I wrote the lady's name down. Catherine Genovese. I may be pronouncing it wrong. A documented case in New York City. She was returning from a night job to her apartment. It was kind of late at night, and she approached her home. It was kind of early in the morning in April, and she was attacked by a man with a knife, and the man actually stabbed her. She was screaming and yelling, and the man ran away. But because nobody came to her rescue, he actually came back and finished her off and finished stabbing her. She was screaming. And then the police investigation the next day, they interviewed people in the apartment. And don't you know, it is documented that they found 38 people who either heard the lady screaming or either saw what was happening, and they did absolutely nothing. And I know there may be different reasons that they were scared. I couldn't help her. I was scared for their life. I understand that. But did they have phones back in 1964? Seemed like somebody would have called. They said that nobody called until after the lady was dead. And it's just something for us to think about sometime, because even in our lifetime, we might have this attitude. We might have this attitude that if it's not my problem, no skin off my back. You know, mind your own business. Take care of number one, if you will. We're concerned about each other. And so when we come to our day, during our time, and Jesus comes along and he gives this golden rule. And I want to read it again to make sure we understand what it's saying. It says in Matthew 7:12, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." You see, the golden rule requires action. It does. It requires action. It doesn't tolerate this passivity. It says, do unto them. In other words, it requires us to treat people like we want to be treated. Amen. Yeah, see, if I lost $500, I don't know about you, but I need my $500. And if my ID is in my wallet, and I know you say, "Well, we don't know who that is. I didn't steal the money. You didn't steal it, but you had the opportunity to do some good." Amen. To give it back. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. See, the golden rule is universal. It applies in every segment of our lives. It says, all things therefore whatsoever. The golden rule, it empowers us, notice this, to give and to receive and to experience the maximum that we can in our relationship one with another and in our relationships with God, because it helps us to connect with God like no other thing that we can do on this earth. Let me see if I can explain it even a little bit better. You know in the Bible, in the book of Luke, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's go there for just a moment. I want to identify all of these conducts in this particular parable. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Luke 10, 30. Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him and they beat him, and went away leaving him half dead. Do you see your conduct in there? I believe I see the iron rulers, if you will. They are forcing their will on this man. Why? Because they can't. Now, it's a group of them, and some of us, we're not brave enough to deal this way by ourselves. But we get with a group. Yeah, some groups exert their intimidation and fear and gangs and other things like that. And so we see these men, these iron rulers, they took it because they could. They took advantage of this man. Wasn't anything, they were just evil. Verse 31, and by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Notice this, the priest went. He's a priest. He's a man of God. He was on the road. He saw, but he went on the other side. The priest didn't rob the man. He didn't do anything to the man. He didn't kill his man. He didn't put him in this situation, but he passed by on the other side. Listen to the verse 32. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Not my business. Not my problem. I don't know what this man did. I don't know why he did it. I'm not involved. I'm going to leave it alone. But notice this. So we see the silver rule applies to them. Wouldn't you agree with that? They had the opportunity to do something. They didn't actually do the damage, but they had the opportunity to take an action. They chose not to. And then we get to verse number 33, but a Samaritan who was on a journey. All of them were on a journey. Are we on journeys? Amen. Now notice this. Are we on journeys every day? Amen. Is there something happening every day? Are there opportunities that happen every day? I know unless you're locked up in somewhere that you're not around people, he says this, he's on a journey, he came upon him, and when he saw him, notice this, Jesus saying in everything, and I know the world is a bad place. Isn't it awful that some individuals could justify in their minds that they are, I don't know if they're justifying that they're doing it right, the victims in Paris, how these individuals have exerted, they are trying to exert power and force for whatever they've justified in their mind, this evil deeds that they are doing, trying to live, trying to get make their point, but doing it the wrong way. How can somebody justify killing innocent people in the name of any cause? It's just evil. It's just evil and it's just hurtful. And listen now. Samaritan, the Bible says that he came upon man, and when he saw him, and I would just say to Christians, to us, and we're talking about living powerful lives, lives that matter, lives that affect people, that affect us in our homes, that affect in our family. Jesus said, in everything. That means when you're at work. Now notice, it's not just the employer, but the employee. That means when you're at home, not just the husband, not just the wife, not just the children, everybody in the home. I want you to put you in everything, every situation. That if you are a patient in the hospital, if you are a caregiver, you have opportunities to treat people right. Amen. If you are a waiter or if you are the customer, if you are a church leader or if you are a church member, in everything, every situation. And Samaritan, he opened his eyes and he saw it, although all of them saw the man. And one thing I know, I'm not trying to be in everybody's business, and we can't be all things to everybody, but too many of us, one brother asked me today about a situation on his job, and he was wondering whether or not he should take advantage of this opportunity. He said he interviewed it for him, but he's having second thoughts, and he asked me about it, and I said, well, is it more money? He said, it's more money, Brother Gary. I said, that's not your only basis for the decision. I said, but. Is it a place that you can go and you can be a positive influence? He said, there's just so much going on the job and so many politics. I say, well, this is a place that you can go and you can be a positive influence on your job. Can you make a difference, a positive difference? He says, you know, I hadn't thought about it that way. He says, I guess I could. I said, well, that's something for you to think about. Because sometimes we as Christians, we sit on the sidelines and we whine and complain about what's going on. Amen. And we won't jump in there and do our part to try to make things. One had a gentleman tell me when my daughters were young and they participated in sports and I used to take them and sometimes I'd be there. I played sports. So I kind of knew, like, man, they're not getting it done. They don't know what, and I, in my mind, I'm saying, some of them don't know what they're doing. And I talk, and sometimes they come home, we talk, my wife and I, we talk about it. And this one guy, he came to me one time, he knew who I was, he knew I played sports and things, and he said, Gary, what you think about this? I say, I think it's some serious problems. He needs some help. He said, well, why don't you get in there and help him? And I said, well, I don't really. He said, well, you know, Gary, he said, if you get, you know, you help. I said, we need some folk who know what they're doing. And it wasn't a major role, but it was something that I could do to help. And I thought about it for a moment. I said, you know, I need to be quiet complaining. And it made all the difference. It made all the difference in my kids' life that I decided to not be a part of the complaining, but a part of the solution. And sometimes it's because we see things, but we just don't do nothing. And the Samaritan, he saw and he just went to, and you don't have to ask permission to do everything. To treat people right. Listen to what the Bible says. He felt compassion. You can't skip that part. And sometimes I don't know if we as Christians feel enough compassion. That means we put ourselves in another person's place and we actually try to feel what they feel. That's what we do. And when you're going to treat somebody right, it's like, you know, you might have never, some jobs you've never actually had. You know, when you go in a restaurant and you sit at a table and, you know how you want to be talked to, don't you? Yeah, and you know how you want to be talked to. And so if you're working at a restaurant and you're working and you got people, the customers there, you know, people come in there with all kind of issues, problems, they babies, they got stuff on their job, they might be mad, but just because they are mad, you don't treat them like they're treating you. Jesus said, you treat them like you want to be treated. Amen. You break all of that. No, but Gary, who does it first? You do. Amen. We do. It's not about who's first or who's second. Jesus says, you treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yes. Not like they are treating you. Yes. Woo. Bible is right. Oh, have mercy. Oh, I got some growing to do. Yes, we do. Amen. Yeah, and Samaritan, he noticed what he did. And he came to him and he bandaged him up, his wounds. He pouring oil and wine on them, and he put them on his beast, and he brought it. Now, if you were on the road, if it was you down, you hurt, you can't talk, you're bleeding, what would you want done to you? Let me pray for you, brother. Is that what you want?
No.
What do you need right then? You can't do nothing for yourself.
Come on now.
And Jesus says, treat everybody like you want. You can't hardly pick yourself up. Oh, yeah. You find out who the Christians in here want. Yeah. And Jesus, he's trying to help us to grow. No, but that takes so much and it costs. See, that's one of the reasons why we as children of God, we haven't experienced the power that is within us because we just won't do what God say. I was talking this morning. See, this can go so many different ways, and I don't know, but we're all kinds of areas are in your marriage, at home. See, some of us, we haven't experienced what God really wants us to experience, even in our marriages, because we got a chart, and we're trying to keep up with what he did and what she did. She didn't do this. I ain't doing that. He didn't do this. I'm not doing that. And we keep in count. Instead of just simply, you know, like if she works on her feet all day. We had sisters work on their feet. You know, brothers that work on their feet, you work on your feet all day. When you get home, what's wrong? You tired? You are tired. Your feet hurting. You know, you're tired. And maybe you working on your spouse may work on a job. They sitting down. And I'm not saying you're not working hard when you're sitting down. I sit down a lot, but I'm spent when I get home. But if I put myself, say, oh, baby, boy, she is standing up 10 hours a day. No, she tired. I should think about that when I come home. And I shouldn't put demands on her. Well, girl, somebody got to do it. Hold up, brother. I'm just putting myself in her place right now. She come home. And just what would happen if she come on, baby? I know she said, I know she tired. Baby, take your shoes out for a sec. Ooh. Now, it's going to be strange when you first do it if you haven't ever been doing it. It's going to be really strange. Take your shoes out. What, take my shoes out? Ooh, baby, I'm just tired. Just take them out, baby. She takes her shoes off. And I just want to give you a foot rub today. Oh, you don't have to do that now, baby. I want to do this. I know you're tired. Aren't your feet hurting? Ooh, yeah, they hurting, baby. And you rub her feet. Oh, no, bro, yeah. See, I don't do that kind of stuff. You don't have to do it. Notice what Jesus said. Treat each other as you want to be treated. See, this is an action. This is action if you ever seen it. He says, do unto others that you would have them do unto you. It's a doing thing. But I don't do that. That's why you don't experience it. That's why you don't receive. You don't receive it till you actually do it. Now notice, I get down here. I don't do that kind of stuff. Well, don't do it. Don't do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But notice this, Jesus, he's still talking to you. He says, you treat each other. I bet there's something that you want done to you. Amen. All of us have something that we want somebody to do. Amen. To us, for us. I'm rubbing her feet. I ain't nothing I like to do, but I know her feet tired. She said, ooh, baby. Ooh, that feels so. See, what you said. Now, you're not doing it for selfish reasons. But if I'm rubbing her feet and she's feeling good, what do you think that's going to do to her? What do you think it's going to do for her? Whew. See, some of us are cutting off our own blessings. We're selfish and we keep in count. And you know, some of us, it takes longer for others to come around. So somebody, if something's going to change, if something's going to get better, if you're on your job and you got a boss man that's just cuckoo crazy, he just, you know, he's in a bad mood all the time. You try to stay out of his way. No, have you ever thought about this? Now, I'm not saying to go try to do a background check on it, but you don't you? Everybody in here has some kind of problem. Amen. Your boss man, he got some problems. She got some issues. Oh, but I don't fool with her. But she got some. Right. He got some issues. Right. If a man or woman is mean all the time, they got some issues. Yeah. And it may be financial. It may be just financial. They're carrying the burden. They're trying to pay payroll. They don't know if they got all the money to pay the payroll. They might be going through a divorce. Might have some health problems. They're just not telling you about it. They don't want you to know about it. I'm not saying to feel sorry for them because they're in this situation, but first of all, they got some issues, just like you have some issues. Don't just label them. Just put yourself in their place. See, if you're on a job, you got a mean boss, first of all, do your job. If they paying you, don't give them an excuse to start saying you're not doing your job. Don't go in there, I ain't doing nothing because he mean anyway. I'm going to have to do my job. Treat him as if you were the boss. Amen. Just like you the boss and you want somebody to work for you and do a good job. Because I promise you, any boss, he's out of his mind. If you are doing your job and doing it well and he's still mistreating you, we going to pray for him. Yes. But you do your job and do it well and do it consistently. And don't say, well, he got all the money. I'm going to take $20 a day. He don't need no money. No. Do your job. Don't steal his money. Don't steal the office supplies. Yes. Leave them there. Yes. They're not yours. Suppose everybody on the job thought like you. And you get to work next day. We out of business. Oh, what happened? How he probably stole all of my. No, you stole it. treat each other. Let's treat each treat. If you are a supervisor, if you are a business owner in here right now, you remember God is your business. God is your boss. Treat people fairly. Don't try to usurp authority. I'm writing the checks around here. Everybody barking all the time. Amen. Treat people with dignity. Amen. Even though you are giving them a check. Amen. Jesus says, in every situation, in every, if you are a patient, if you are a caregiver in the hospital, if you are a patient in bed, my daughter has been sick for, she was so frustrated one day, and she blurted out something to one of the caregivers when I was up there, and I'm like, girl, you better be quiet. Because she was just that frustrated. She apologized. She did apologize to the person. She said, I'm just tired of being a pain. I said, baby, everybody trying to help you. Amen. You don't want to make them mad. They put something in your medicine. Some of us, we quote unquote, we Christians, and we the worst. I don't know, nobody here, maybe at the first service. They're the worst patients you ever want to see. Christians in the hospital cursing the nurses, cursing the doctors. Y'all get in here and do y'all job. Help us. Help. You treat people like you want to be treated. Yeah. And if you're taking care of some folks that's in the hospital, sick one, you're taking care of loved ones at home. They sick. Man. Sometimes they say things that they don't mean. Yeah. They are in awful pain. And things come out and you don't be mean to them even if they're mean to you. Tell them you love them. Say, listen, I'm trying to do my best. Don't bark and don't walk in me. Give some spirit of love when you're dealing with people. Treat them like you want to be treated. Yes. You'll turn this whole situation. We can change the world with this type of living as Christians. Yes. I want to end with this passage in the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41. Beginning at verse number 41, Matthew 25. Then he will say to those on his left, and this is not the full passage, depart from me. He calls them accursed ones. Into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And notice what he says. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Verse 44, then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Verse 45, then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Verse 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And the silver rule here applies. Listen to this now. He called them a curse not because they caused the hunger. They didn't cause the hunger. They didn't cause the thirst. They didn't cause the people to go to prison. They didn't cause the people to be sick. But he called them a curse because they did not respond to an opportunity that they had to do some good. He called them a curse. You shall not enter. Amen. Into the kingdom. And so what Jesus said was so profound. It was so powerful. And it would literally change the world at an increasing time and space. If we started today, it will change the atmosphere in our home. Some of our kids would think something was wrong with us if we went in and started talking like we really had some sense. Man. But that's okay because it would be all good, as they say. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our leaders in Congress, we turn on the television and the Republicans would stop talking about the Democrats and the Democrats would stop talking about the Republicans. You turn the TV on, I'm like, man, what in the world? These are our leaders. And they criticize each other all the time. They talk personally about each other. They never. I want to see one of them just say something good about the other person. Amen. It would change the world. It would do it on our jobs, right. Even in the Lord's church.
even in the Lord's church, church members, we need to treat each other. We need to treat each other better, don't we? We need to demonstrate this for others to see, because, see, some of us have a little advantage because we've seen it demonstrated. We don't have an excuse. But that many of us in the Lord's church, we come into church, we haven't been in situations where we actually, you know, some of us come from home, folks cursed all the time. Don't raise your hand. I mean, you know, you've been in a home, some of us have been shared. See, I was in a home, mom and dad is there, and mama, I don't know if I ever heard my mother curse. I'm not going to say she hadn't cursed, but my dad, I heard my daddy curse before he was in the Lord. But that's the example that but some of us come from places some of us come from fighting families. You know, hey, somebody mess with you. Hey, no, you not. And we bring that in the Lord's house. Somebody look at you from, what you looking at? What you be looking? Say, no. And we can do better. Yeah. We respect each other better. We talk to each other. We can't be friends, quote unquote, friends with everybody, but we can be cordial to everybody. We love each other, consider each other. And notice he says in everything. And we can use this powerful demonstration that the Lord gave us and incorporate it in our lives. And we understand when the Bible says he's not giving us the spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, of love, of discipline, of sound mind. We can do that. Can't we, church? Amen. If you're here today, you're not a member of the body of Christ. You need to be. You do it by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's our ultimate example. He's who we look to for all things. He's a great teacher, even to us in life. If you're here and you haven't been baptized into Christ, if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior, he's the Master. He died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, to confess Christ with your mouth, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, the Lord adds you to the church, to the family, to the body of Christ, to the house of God, to the kingdom of God. We be live faithful unto death. He'll give us a crown of righteousness, a crown of life. Anybody need to come to Jesus today? If you're here and you need prayer in your life, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you need to get something right in your life, you can do that even today as we stand and sing the song of imitation.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God.
Careless soul.
Oh, heed thy warning. For your life
will soon be gone. Oh, your life will soon be gone.
Oh, how sad.
To face the judgment.
Unprepared.